This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
Keith, it's obviously a big challenge for your two centre backs, especially coming up against a team like Leeds with so many tall players in the team, defending set pieces, that kind of thing. How good do you think they performed in that sense today?
Very different test to last weekend against Spurs, where they're looking to have to go more in on the tens and the way that they played today is obviously Calvert-Lewin, and then different ways of playing Okafor coming narrow, and second half obviously Nemechek coming on and being an out and out too. It's always difficult, and our two boys I think in the main stood up really well to that. They set the tone for it in the first half, which was really, really important. Set pieces, massive part of both of the team's armoury, and I thought today we did particularly well from that.
And just how comfortable do you think Nathan Collins is now as a pair in the centre of defence now, rather than playing in a back three?
I don't know what percentage of our games last season we played a back three. We did it the last time here, out of necessity more than anything, and we started the season with a few games playing a back three, but now a four is certainly we've played the vast majority and will do this season. I think we've seen it with Nathan now. He's growing all the time, he's developing his leadership skills for someone who's so young. He keeps making strides, he leads by example on a daily basis, and he's so eager to develop his individual game, and I think that's in a really good place.
And just Quivey, and then fingertip save towards the end of the game as well to keep your, at least to guarantee that point for your team.
Not particularly surprised to you, he's a top goalkeeper. That's what he's paid to do. He's in between the sticks to do exactly that. He's in such a good rhythm of his respective game. He's in his peak years. Love having him here.
Yeah, and just finally, how much are your squad driven by the fact that they got so close to Europe last season? Is that kind of a motivating factor this season, that they want to get, they feel they have a higher ceiling to get further up the table?
The aim for us is to get better. So better is pretty obvious where that brings us. I think naturally with the age profile of the group, the fact that we've kept the vast majority together that we wanted to, we've added real quality in different positions where we felt we needed to add a little bit of depth. I think if we keep really humble and hungry, which I have no doubt we will, we can achieve what we want to achieve this year, but there's a long way to go. We played two games.
Well, we're here at Elland Road after what has been, I think it's fair to say, an exciting Premier League tussle, Brian, between Leeds United and Brentford, and you'd probably say a fair scoreline at the end of it as well, 1-1.
Yeah, I think Brentford were the better team for the majority of the match, and I know you spoke with Keith Andrews and he said that after the game they're probably a little bit disappointed that they didn't build on the lead they had at half time or get a second goal. I think had they got the second goal they'd have won the 3 points. But in fairness to Leeds, they kind of got into the game a bit more in the second half. Daniel Farke made some crucial changes at half time which were badly required. They needed a third man in the midfield. They've been outplayed in that area. Damsgaard and Singardi and Janelt dominated the game in the first half, but when Leeds put in the extra man in midfield, made those changes, took off the centre half, they got a bit better and come into the game a bit more. He didn't make many chances, but you know, ultimately they got an equalising goal. They probably just about deserved it, though. Kevin Shader's goal was a brilliant goal for Leeds.
For Brentford, rather.
Yeah, and Calvert-Lewin, the equaliser, maybe just about earned the draw.
Yeah. Like we saw in that first 45 minutes with Brentford, they looked so comfortable on the ball. They looked like they were the home team. In fact, I felt for a large part of that 45 minutes. What is it about the way Keith Andrews has his team set up that makes them look so accomplished, I suppose, this early in the season?
Well, he has the same group of players that they had last year. They've had very little turnover in the summer. Just see maybe Jordan Henderson is gone, but other than that, it's more or less the same team as had last year. A couple of additions in there, one of the centre backs, new centre back, but the majority of the players were there last year, so they know the formation, they know what's required. They've had time to work on their patterns of play, and you can see they're a very well drilled team, and they've confidence in how they go about their business on the base of the form last year that took them to 9th place. They just got edged out of European spot on goal difference, I think, to Brighton. So they were already in good nick at the end of last season. They look probably slightly better, I would say, in the couple of games they played this season. So the manager and the staff have obviously drilled into the players what's required from each of them in the positions. There's a flexibility in their play, though, I like as well. It's not like they're too regimented. I like the rotation of positions, the movement between Lewis Potter, particularly on the left-hand side, and Shade and Damsgaard. Damsgaard plays a kind of a number 10, as they call it nowadays. But he was often drifting out to the left, and anywhere he thought he could find a bit of space, he was generally there. And he was dragging Ampadu out of the central midfield position, which opened up a space for Sangare and Yanal to exploit the space when Ampadu was pulled wide away from the middle, and the other centre midfield player was kind of left isolated for Leeds. So they're a very effective unit, who, and they know they have a lot of pace in the front line in the team. They probably didn't use it that much today as effectively as they did against Tottenham, particularly in the second half when Leeds opened up more and the full backs were in more advanced positions, centre halves are isolated. But they're a well-drilled unit, and you have to hand it to Keith Andrews and the staff. They've done a very good job with the players they have.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we're going to be selfish from an Irish perspective. I suppose from a coaching point of view, he brings in Damien Duff, a man you know very, very well. We spoke to him briefly outside the ground here before they set off back to London. But what is it you feel that Damien Duff can bring to this coaching setup and to the team for the rest of the Premier League season?
Well, Damien's a very experienced coach at this stage. You know, he went through his early stages of coaching in Shamrock Rovers in the underage setup. And then he went to Celtic and worked with Neil Lennon with the first team at Celtic before he went into the Irish setup briefly with Keith Andrews and Stephen Kenny. So, but you know, he's all those years of experience as a player and listened to a lot of managers, giving them information, and been at training sessions with lots of different coaches, hundreds of sessions. And he's a very intelligent fella who would have picked up bits and pieces along the way, but he's developed his own style. We saw the passion he had at Shelbourne and the work he did with Shelbourne over that few seasons where they went from being the team coming up from the first division. He got them well up the table, cup final position, finished 4th or 5th in the league, then went on to win the title. Sensational turnaround in Shelbourne's fortunes. It's a long time since they had that type of success. So, you know, he's been a long time learning, and he brings that passion he has for the game, the knowledge, the experience, and a bit of pragmatism as well. He knows that's required. But you know, he's an intelligent football guy, and he's very, very committed. And like most people that go into coaching and management, you end up you're a bit obsessive about it, and you know that you have to neglect a lot of other things in your life if you want success. And you can see that with Damien, that's he gives it his all. And you know, he's over here now and back over in England. I remember him a few years ago saying he was coming home from Scotland, that his family wanted to come home and he was coming home with them. But now he's back over here again, and it'll be bits and pieces for his family. And that's how it is in football. And, you know, it's not right, nice for normal family life, but it's how it is. If you want to be successful in the game, you have to give it really extraordinary hours of commitment and dedication. But you know, if you like all the staff, you have to be like that. He's not exceptional in that way, but we all are very aware of his commitment and passion when we come across him.
Just to ask you finally on Brentford, Nathan Collins and Quirin Keller, they're obviously two very important figures now in Irish football from a playing perspective, because we spoke about it before, we don't have many players in the Premier League anymore. So Brentford being successful will also have a knock-on effect on Ireland being hopefully successful with two very good Premier League players in the team.
Yeah, well, look, you know, Queevin Kelleher has been a smashing goalkeeper for a number of years. He needed to make the move. He made it in going to Brentford. He'd won plenty of medals at Liverpool. He's Premier League medals and Champions League medal and League Cup medals, but he didn't play in all that many games, really. But he played enough games for plenty of clubs to feel they should take him. And he's gone to Brentford. He looks very comfortable in that jersey. He handy enough day today. One great save. Nathan Collins, leader. We heard Keith Andrews talking about him today, about his leadership skills. He's been a young captain. He's always been a captain wherever he's been. But he looks more composed. And what I like today is, you know, sometimes with the senior international team, he makes the odd error. He mishits a back pass occasionally, or mishits a pass into midfield, or get stuck with the ball under his foot slightly and stumbles with it. Just slight moments of lack of concentration. We didn't see a sign of that today. Generally, we don't see it with him. He did a little spell last year where Keith left him out of the team. He's come back well from that. We saw a really dominant display today from him. I thought he played very well. And, oh, it is good for the Irish team that he's in good form. But we need other players playing well. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of players. You said John Egan playing a hole yesterday, maybe Darrell Shea, a few fringe players at Ipswich, but we've only got three or four regulars now, which is unfortunate. But the Championship is a very good level. That's where most of our players are playing.
Yeah, Jack Moylan scoring yesterday for Cardiff City was great to see. Just finally, Brian, we can't leave Ellen Road without talking about Leeds. You'd have to say, considering how much they were dominated on their own patch, as you mentioned in commentary, the supporters were slightly starting to turn. The break probably came at a good time in that sense, but then they came out rejuvenated, and you'd have to give great credit to Daniel Farke, their coach, for changing things. He realised it wasn't the right formation. He made some changes, and they fought back, and they showed great character here today.
Yeah, well, he made a big change last year. They had a bad run in October, November last year. They lost five or six games, and they were losing 2-0 to Manchester City here, and he changed to a back five, went to towards centre half, and they got back to 2-2 in the match, eventually got beaten 3-2 a late goal and Foden. But that became the system for the rest of the season, and they only lost five more games in the season from December on, so it was a big turning point for them. Today he made the opposite change. He took off a centre back at half time. They needed the third player in midfield, and then they became more competitive, but they badly needed to get that player on. And Wilson coming on made a bit of a difference to them too, a kind of a more attacking player. Tanaka, the Japanese player, getting a bit of energy and tenaciousness in the middle of the field. So yes, he made good changes. He had to make them, and they got a return from them. Eventually Calvin Lewin got a chance and took it, and the match had gone on as a front man, made a bit of difference. Then James on the right wing played very well, I thought, when he came on. Had a couple of little half chances, should maybe won the time and the match had put him through. He'd run him halfway line and he went for the bender, put it wide, but they were better. And yes, the manager made the right changes and he got a return from it. Now the question for him is, he go back to a back four for future matches, but at least he knows the team have the adaptability to play a different system and be competent in that system.
They're good enough to stay up again, do you think?
I would think so. You know, it's competitive enough. The three teams that have come up have started reasonably well. I think Hull have won their first couple of games. You would think the experience they have and the quality of the players they signed, the goalkeeper Trafford is an upgrade on what they had previously in Perry, and the centre back Mover Hendrich, he looks an improvement. The centre half position as well, they've one or two other players around the pitch that, you know, Harry Wilson, when he gets into the rhythm of the team patterns of play, I think he'd be a great addition for them too.
Great stuff, Brian, thanks very much. And if you haven't checked it out yet, short little interview with Keith Andrews after the match as well, the Brentford manager. Keep an eye out on the Off the Ball social channels, and we'll chat to you next week on Sunday's Sunday Premier League coverage on Off the Ball.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter, and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.